This is the Threshing Floor, Spirituality Unbound.
Floor. I'm Randy Moggins, and this recording is being made just a few minutes into the early morning hours of October 29th, 2012, where from my location here on the East Coast, we are bracing ourselves for what has been called a superstorm. Storm of the century, an unprecedented storm. And there are things rattling around in my head, and I thought, wow, I still have power and an internet connection. I would take some time to talk a little bit. The air outside is ominous. The pressure of an advancing storm and the expectations of people who are preparing. It's a very interesting dynamic that occurs, because a lot of times what happens is people go into panic mode and respond to things in a way that creates more tension. I wonder if our expectations of things do not, in fact, produce the results. In a lot of ways, the storm is a huge symbol of the times we've been in for many years. Some of you are very aware of the tension as we count down the years, and I'm not talking so much about 2012 as I am this present age that's closing slash beginning. In a lot of ways, the countdown to a storm, the waiting for a storm, the expectancy, the probabilities of what can occur, will there be a storm at all? Will it reverse? Will it turn in some way? Will something unexpected happen? We both anticipate, and at the same time, we move in the power of our own understanding, in not creating negative outcomes. Jesus Christ turned a storm away. He commanded the wind. And we were called to be like him, or more correctly, to do things greater than he had done. And I wonder about that, coupled with the question, would the Son of Man find faith upon the earth when he returns? And even about the issue of who the Son of Man is, because I believe that that's a broader symbolism for the ascending sons of God. And so in a sense, what we are as humans are gods in amnesia, waiting to be birthed again into an earth, into a world that is going through the labor pains of birth, rebirth, death, because it's the same cycle. The anticipation of a storm in some ways is like the anticipation of childbirth. There is this sense of ominousness of something coming, and it's violent, and yet at the same time I find a storm holds promise, even when they bring consequences, because the storm measures the constitution of the human. And in a sense, what it does is the wind itself sifts everything that stands in its way. Everything that can be blown by wind or shaken, anything that can be moved out of its roots by forces, is subject to the physics of nature. Nature is testing man as man is coming to know and return to nature. And so we kind of reach this place of seeking equilibrium in adversity, seeking equilibrium against forces, not allowing ourselves to be moved by what is seen, but continuing to move in the expectancy that we will prevail. In a sense, what we are looking at in the present time is very much like the build-up to the storms that have been and that have come. We test ourselves against the forces of nature. We test ourselves against the forces of time. We test ourselves against ourselves because we are the only standard by which we can be judged. In a lot of ways, what we've fallen into in religion, and in even some circles of spirituality, is the delusion that something outside of ourselves is our salvational factor. Understanding what salvation is goes a long way towards addressing that issue, because the Greek word sozos has more to do with restoration and healing. And we are, as human beings, broken-winged gods. We fell to earth, as I've talked about in my series on the fall. We fell from a state, an energetic state, a soul state, a spiritual state. A genetic form of perfection was taken from us, and we were cast into the wilderness of dimensional space-time to be sifted and to be tested by the winds, and we chose that fate. And as we begin to take responsibility for our fate, we also begin to empower ourselves. You see, religion and nearly every other institution takes away your power, your ability to address your life and your circumstances. You've been sold a bill of goods, in a way, in it being said that you've been thrust into a malevolent world, a malevolent universe, and subjected to the vicissitudes of these forces that are against us, the spiritual forces, the natural forces, our immortality. And what's really occurred is that we have never been able to take responsibility for it, because we do not know who we are and the decisions we made to be who we are in this life. When you take religion, and religion wants to elevate a God above you who is omniscient, omnipresent, and all-knowing, and that God then throws you blind into this whirlwind. And if you fail the test, you're doomed to eternal hell. And that's not the God that Jesus Christ came to reintroduce us to. On another layer, I believe we're fractals of Creator, of Source, of First Source, however you want to view that. So when you look at a fractal, contained within a fractal, however small it is, everything contained within that fractal is entirely the whole of the original image. Being thrust into space-time dimension, we're sort of like a bad copy machine. We became copies of ourselves that were decreasingly legible, decreasingly defined. And we've forgotten the fractal aspect of who we are, the perfection indwelt, which the Christ came to show us. And so, in a sense, we chose as a race, as a group of people, as individuals, to be here in this, quote, time. And time's interesting because time's a construct of the third, fourth dimensional realms. It doesn't extend beyond that. The book of Revelation even tells you in the 10th chapter that the angel declares that there will be time no more, that there is time no more, is how it's put. Because there's only isness within the infinite. There is no linear time stream as we experience it. There, you know, it's been said that time is the device used to prevent everything from happening at once, but in fact, everything does happen at once. Order and sequence and linear time movement are functions of our present consciousness because we cannot grasp eternity. We can't grasp yet what it is like to be eternal. We can't grasp the idea of living outside of time, where all things stream and flow around us in a way that are simply dimensional pinpoints on a black matrix, if you can picture that. The idea of jumping, of moving from time points, is a construct that's come out of quantum physics, but it's also a construct that comes from mystical levels as well. The idea that beings can move from point to point in time, that over repeated lives or multidimensional lifelines, we exist on multiple time points simultaneously, because simultaneously, of course, is the eternal time code. Linear time, synchronicity, synchronous, is the way that we deal with our limited capacity. And yet we live in time, and there is timing, there's sequence. We're clearly linear in the way we work through all of this. Probably the most difficult part is to be able to, again, bear what we call waiting. The interim periods between events, which are really just the dark spaces between jump points in time. So it's the night before a storm, and around me, I feel the vibrations, I feel the anxiety, the anticipation. Whatever happens will be not the force of nature itself, but each individual human participant who will determine the impact, regardless of the forces of nature. If we believe that we can move storms, we believe that we can place protection around us, then we need to move in that fashion. And, you know, preparation's an interesting thing. It's wise to be prepared. But, you know, it's wise to always be prepared. So preparing for a storm is an extra effort that you make above and beyond being prepared already. So whatever storm is coming, because the storm of October 29th, 30th, whatever happens will pass, there are more storms coming. There are coastal events and tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanoes. And certainly we've not seen the worst or the best of what nature can give us. And I suspect that tonight is simply, for me, another interim point between time events. And I suspect that for many of you out there, including many of the millions who are in the path of the storm, that you look at this storm as a passage point and as a signpost of the days and the times ahead, and that it become sort of a training session for the days ahead, regardless of how you view them. We do have power. We do have the ability to determine the impact of any event on our lives. And because of the power within us, we have the ability to not only survive, but to walk away from it with something very special. And I want to take a break here, and I'll come back on the other side. We'll talk about a couple other things. And I want to play some music that I think is appropriate on this particular night. This is The Threshing Floor, and we will be back in a few minutes.
I sat within a valley green, sat there with my true love. My heart strove to choose between me old love and the new love. Me old for her, the new that may me think on Ireland dearly, while soft the wind blew down the glade and shook the golden barley. It was hard the mournful words to frame, to break the ties that bound us, but harder still to bear the shame of foreign shames around us. And so I said, the mountain glen I'll seek at morning. Arms around me clinging, when to my ears that fateful shot came out of the wild wood ringing. The bullet pierced my true love's breast in life's young spring so early, and then upon my breast she lay, well, thank you. and marries the summer blossom. I place her branches soft and green about her rose-stained bosom. I wept and kissed her clay-cooled corpse, then rushed home. Was blood for blood without remorse, I took and wooed hollow. I placed my true love's clay cold corpse where mine full soul. Around the grave I wanted to dream, night and
discover that all the concepts and judgments that we believe or take for granted are distortions of things as they really are. I realized that I was witnessing something truly remarkable. When we believe our thoughts instead of what is really true for us, we experience the kinds of emotional distress that we call suffering. When we don't listen, we come to accept this suffering as an inevitable part of life. It's not. It's not. It's not. It is American, homegrown, and mainstream rage, paranoia, and despair. And despair. And despair. And despair. Had some miracle occurred? There is an intense questioning about life and death. Life and death. Life and death. Allow yourself to be as judgmental and petty as you really feel. All of them are looking for the truth. The truth. The truth. We are disturbed not by what happens to us, but by our thoughts about what happens. What happens. What happens. And as the thinking changes, the problems disappear. Loving what is becomes as easy and natural as breathing. Not a quick fix. I have done the work many times, many times, many times, many times. I realized that I was witnessing something truly remarkable.
Welcome back to the Threshing Floor. I'm Randy Moggins. On the night before the storm. Sometimes working through things is a matter of working through them. Dealing with what is, as that clip talked about. We've been too harsh on ourselves. We've been petty and judgmental, but mostly we've been self-judgmental and self-condemning and denigrating of our own power. Somehow or another, we got tangled up inside ourselves and thought something had to happen to gain control over our lives and over our world, when in fact we were sent here on a mission to impact this world. We are, in a sense, kind of the saviors in training, if you will, the savants of the new age, the force which has never been reckoned with, an awakened humanity, a humanity which commands the waves and the winds. I found this text in the book of Revelation, and I'll share it, because it goes right to the heart of who we really are. And this isn't going to be a long show, podcast. I've said before, I'll say what I have to say when I have to say it and share it for what it's worth, and you judge for yourself. Obviously, I'm in constant transition, moving, as it were, along the continuum from faith to faith. And not only do I struggle with me, but others struggle with me, because variously they tend to think that I'm backslidden, fallen, going off into some wild eccentric thing, and then I need to reground again. And regrounding means going back to the source. And while I've been highly critical of the way scriptures have been used, I still have an undying respect for the scriptures. And my definition of that may be a bit more expansive than those who I think journeyed with me a while back, and hopefully they will begin to latch on to some of this as well. But the word of truth is the word of truth. It is written, it is spoken, it is a vibration. It's a tuning fork into which we resonate. And this verse from Revelation really goes to the heart of what I hope to communicate. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It's the introduction to the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is really where you begin to meet not just this Messiah, the Christ called Jesus, but we begin to meet ourselves. The revelation is not about judgment upon humanity. It is about the wind and the rain and the storm that we pass through in this world. It is prophetic on levels beyond what we can comprehend. And it communicates truths that are of a high spiritual nature. So here in verse 5 of Revelation 1, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Now what's interesting here is the qualification. He is the faithful witness. He is the first begotten of the dead, and he is the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, a king of the earth is not like the ruling class, cabal, banksters, governmentalists, and politicians that ride roughshod over most of the planet right now. The kings of the earth is a regal term bestowed spiritually on the ascended ones, the ones who follow Jesus, Yeshua, in the ark of ascension. And so this faithful witness, the first one brought from the dead, it wasn't a physical death. Yes, there was a crucifixion, yes, there was blood, but the point was that he died to his old person. He died to the human side of himself that still had some limitations left. It required the death and the resurrection to purify the spiritual vessel through which humanity would pass. This vessel, this portal, is a spiritual portal through which we pass. And the means for doing that is what we call the threshing floor. It is the storm and the winds and the elements that test us and try us. That piece of music that I played at the break was Lorena McKenna, and it's a song called "The Wind That Shakes the Barley." Anybody who knows about barley in the scripture knows that it's highly symbolic of those who overcome. It is the first fruits. It is the most resilient of the agricultural products that are used emblematically to symbolize the progression of man from fallen state to the place where he has risen again in power after the typology of the Messiah. Like the Messiah, he passes through this portal, this earth, space, time continuum, and comes out the other side, refined, purified, and radiant. This prince of the kings of the earth was the type. He was the first. He was the leader. He wanted to introduce you to your father. He wanted to introduce you to your power. And he wanted to tell you who you are beyond life inside of the space-time continuum. He wanted you to know that you are a fractal of first source of the Father, that you are as much a part of the Father as the Father himself, and that despite what your religions tell you, this Father does not send his own into hell. The question becomes, who is separated from the earth? It is those who are of another kind. I've said this before, and I've alluded to it in many ways. The battle we wage is against demons and against forces and against the soulless who were cast among us as well as part of the fall. The storm is moving through all the weapons, all the attacks, all the powers and principalities that are outlined in Ephesians chapter 6 as a purification method. Why else would this prince of the kings of the earth tell us later in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 21, "To him that overcometh I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne"? Try to picture for a minute not the idea of a anthropomorphic God or an anthropomorphic son sitting on some golden throne, but think more in terms of a being who has passed through the lower energies of this earth, this space-time continuum, and is now ascending upward into the ark of the heavenly civilizations, where angels and seraphim and beings of light reside in radiance. And know that in that great company, what the Book of Hebrews calls the cloud of witnesses, know that you as a human are unique among all those creatures, having known good and evil, having passed through these storms, having overcome, having been restored back to your right mind, and knowing that you have been a God in amnesia, and that because the elder brother went first, you had a pattern, you had a way to move into overcoming beyond this present world and this present world system. You will sit down at the throne in that ark with all the heavenly powers, even as you walk upon the earth, because the earth is where it's happening. It is what the celestial powers, the angels, the principalities, all are watching. And so despite all the forces that are thrown at us, we prevail, even unto death, if that be necessary. But I'm here to tell you that each day your purpose is to move ever upward into the ark of the great company of the spiritual masters, into that place where symbolically Yeshua sat down with the Father, and where he instructed his angels that like him they were to guard over us, to watch us, and that we like him were to command them in our times of need. And so the storm comes, the storm may land, and yet at the same time it does not need to touch us. We have the power to prevail in the days ahead, and as the prophets have told us, we will rule and reign on the earth, learning and teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. That's who we are, that's who we came here to be, and that's what we came to learn. So the silence sits in this dark night on the edge of a storm, but it brings with us something of power in the silence that comes before the storm. What the prophet Elijah learned in the cave was that the voice was not in the wind, and it wasn't in the lightning. It was in the still small voice inside, where all power is commanded and where all things are laid at our feet. We have the power, we have the authority, we have the ability to prevail. And in the days ahead, regardless of what happens, we are overcomers, and so shall we be. I'm Randy Moggins. This is The Threshing Floor. Truth is out there. It's inside you. Look for it.
Confusion, I can't get no relief.